there's no evidence for evolution.
No, that's a really bold claim. So there's no evidence of evolution. If evolution were true, then what would the evidence look like?
I think it would look like there would be like in between. There'd probably be, you know, we have fossils of, say, for instance, like what do you have? Like an ancient crocodile, for instance, right? And the only difference between that crocodile before 40 million years ago to now is the size.
What about like for humans?
Even in humans, you would think our oldest fossils of humans, say, for instance, are you like Lucy? Have you seen like fossilized Lucy?
Buddy, just look at your phone.
Oh, okay. You know, I saw this pop up. And then, so are you familiar with Lloyd Pye's work?
No.
So Lloyd Pye, he brought these up. And when you look at this, you see the difference between, like, say, a primate skull and versus a human skull, Homo erectus.
Humans are primates, but...
Humans are, right, we're in the primate family. But the difference in our skulls and the size... in just the general shape of it. When you start looking at those older models, they look way more primate. And then you jump straight to us.
No.
And then so...
That's not the case at all.
Could you pull it back up?
Yeah, well, it's going to cover me up. But we have... So there are... it's true that for Lucy, the structure of her brain is... Or like her skull overall, and the rest of her skeleton too. But the structure of her skull, yes, it is more like living the other great apes today than like ours. But the gradations between are actually pretty finely grained. Here, I will pull it back up, I guess, for you, because I am going to have to point to some things to make my point. But like for example, A is actually a chimpanzee. Australopithecus is letter B here. So yeah, it has a much smaller brain than we do. The snout or the upper jaw sticks out way more. The eyebrow ridge is way more pronounced. But you can see every step along the way, that they're actually, when you skip from one letter to the next, the changes really are not very dramatic. But once you stack 10 non-dramatic changes in a row, then the difference between 1 and 10 is really dramatic. But every step along the way is more incremental. Then there are other things like the... So you have a hole at the bottom of your skull where your spinal cord goes through. It's called your foramen magnum. In us, it points like basically straight down because we're fully upright walkers. Lucy was an upright walker, but her foramen magnum is tilted back more because the other primates, they spend a lot of time walking on all fours. And so like if you
not quite fully erect.
If you try to walk around on all fours, you have to crane your neck like that. It's uncomfortable. So for quadrupedal animals, they deal with that by this will make a great screenshot. The foramen magnum goes into more like the back of the skull. Now again, Lucy has hers is under, but it's angled quite extreme. But then this has been done before. Scientists have analyzed what the angle of that foramen magnum is in Lucy, and then in Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Homo whatever, and then us. And you can actually see how it gradually Lucy's is basically like perfectly in between, like a chimpanzee and us. It falls in between. And then we see it gradually in the more modern transitions get closer to our form. And then you can do that with other skeletal landmarks, like in the hip and stuff.
Well, some of those weren't Homo erectus. Some of those were like the Neanderthal, the Denisovans, which would be other like types of humans, if you will, closer to what we are, farther away from what the great apes are. Where Lucy would be closer to a great ape. Some of those other skulls, like the Neanderthals, while similar to what we are, but we're not Homo erectus, we're not Denisovans either. It's a different class. It's a different subset. And that goes into, that drops down into the creation theory, where it was clearly genetic manipulation going on at some point.
That sounds like Scientology.
Ancient aliens. Well, closer, definitely closer to ancient aliens. If going off like the Sumerian text, you know, even further from them. But even with science, they explain it where they lean in towards, like you're, you know, alluding to earlier with the 23 chromosomes, where you have the great apes have 24 pairs. But ours is fused at a point, which is genetic splicing.
Well, it's the opposite of splicing, because they've been fused. So, yeah, that's not evidence of aliens doing it.
If it's, it would be splicing because you would put the, you would take like a splice of the say the great ape, and then, or some sort of Homo erectus here on this planet, a hominoid already on this planet. And then you splice that DNA, which say you have, it's a pair, so you pull it apart, but you're splicing it with another genetic code that fits at 23, not 24. That's why you would fuse those two so it splices together to create modern man.
I would say no, because Homo erectus almost certainly had 23 pairs of chromosomes like we do. We do have some...
Well, that's what we are. We're Homo erectus.
Well, no, we're Homo sapiens.
Homo sapiens, that'd be more like...
Homo erectus was significantly shorter than us, had a smaller brain than us. Like, the skeleton is very, like, definitely different. Go ahead.
Okay, I'd double check on that one then. I'll double check on that. I'll go back to that. But like you said, definitely a difference. And then, so like for instance, this is what I would say, like that. So that evolution trip, you're going from, say, what, chimpanzees? What does it say we evolved from?
No, chimpanzees didn't exist millions of years ago. We're related to them, but they're cousins of us. They're not our ancestor. So Lucy is a direct ancestor of us. We know of examples older than Lucy that are ancestors of us too, like Ardipithecus and I always forget the name of that one. There's another one that's like 7 million years old. I always forget the name of it, but.
Yeah, but like I said, in the evolution, though, you'll still have, like, say, for instance, you have a, you know, an older type of form, like, say, you know, like the big reptiles that we do have fossil records of all the way from 65 million years ago. There's no change in what they are today.
What are you talking about? Coelacanths or something?
Coelacanths are, what are those, like the fish? Yes. So, I mean, even those.
No, not those. The coelacanths in the fossil record are completely different than the ones of today. They have, you talked about crocodiles earlier, right?
Right.
Right. So the crocodiles, when the dinosaurs were around, like, yeah, that kind of living thing exists, but they're not the same crocodiles as today. Like, we don't have.
Well, the only difference seems like now is that they're just smaller.
Postosuchus was, or Sarcosuchus, whichever, that one was absolutely huge. There probably were some, I don't know, but just life back then was bigger than it is today, and there are reasons for that, but no, they're totally different species. I mean, if I showed you a snapping turtle and a box turtle, and be like, oh, they're the same thing. No, they're not. Well, yeah, but they're both turtles. Well, yeah, they're both turtles, but they're not the same thing. The coelacanths and the crocodiles and the horseshoe crabs in the fossil record. Yeah, they're the same kind of living thing, but they're totally different species. Stupidity never dies. It evolves. Get your signed copy with the link below.
But that would be... So now that sounds more closer to like... smaller evolutions, adaptations over time. That would be more like, say, weather's getting colder, or say even weather's getting warmer. So instead of having a woolly mammoth, now you have elephants, less wool on them.
I'm not really sure what that has to... that's like a micro evolution, I guess, or whatever. So...
Versus like a macro evolution. That's what I'm saying. No proof of macro evolution.
Oh, we have nothing but proof of macro evolution. By the time, it's like when you're talking about the dinosaur era or whatever, by the time the dinosaur era was around, every kind of life we find today existed. There already were mammals. Now, there weren't prime. It depends on how broad you want to be. There were mammals back then. Now, there weren't primates, at least none that I'm aware of, when the dinosaurs were around. But there were, mammals or whatever. There were birds. There were reptiles. Obviously, dinosaurs are one of them. There were all the different kinds of fishes. There were amphibians. And then we can look at plants, too. Although, during the time of the dinosaurs, flowering plants didn't exist in the early period. But then, era. But then, toward the later end of the era, there were flowering plants, but for the macro thing, for the most part, they were already around when the dinosaurs were around. But before that, we know of periods in Earth's history where you have, before there are any reptiles, birds, mammals, amphibians, there were just like fishes and several other kinds of organisms. But we can see the transition from a aquatic animal to a land-dwelling animal with like Ichthyostega, Acanthostega, and Tiktaalik, for example, which are like the ancestors of all land-dwelling things. Now, we'll never have every single transition between them, but just finding one transition still counts as evidence, and then the genetics just puts a nail in the coffin, many nails in the coffin, if you ask me.
I don't know. That just seems like those are just small, like I said, small, like say weather's changing. Obviously they're like, say for instance, you take wolves. Obviously we got different signs of dogs, but that canine is still that canine breed. You know, when you take those, what a wolf is today, but then you bring them inside and you train them up and stuff. Now we have modern dogs. But sure. Those wolves are still around.
Yeah, so let's look at like whale evolution instead. It's going to take a second for the thing to refresh here. But I think whale evolution would definitely satisfy sort of the macro thing you're looking for. We have really excellent transitions of whales from fully land-dwelling to semi-aquatic to fully aquatic to, the modern whales. But all the things you need to see in between, we can find the transitions of those. The whale fossil record evidence, I mean, it takes a while to parse through it and explain it. I mean, I could do that, but examples of it exist. Again, there's millions of species. We'll never have transitions for all of them, but transitions are known. Or there are some known transitions at varying degrees of, at varying degrees of, well, at what stage of the transition is this?
Okay. Well, I guess maybe I gotta head out now, but definitely good talking to you. I'll do some more research and maybe you'll pop back up. We'll have another conversation.
Okie dokie. Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.